Climate change got some play at the Democratic presidential debates this week. Washington State Governor Jay Inslee has made it the centerpiece of his campaign.
We cannot work this out. The time is up. Our house is on fire. We have to stop using coal in 10 years. And we need a president to do it or it won't get done. Get off coal. Save this country and the planet. That's what I'm for.
Inslee might not survive for long as a serious contender for the nomination unless he can mount a big surge in the polls. But his climate-focused campaign does shine some light on the need to transition away from dirty fossil fuels and replace them with more renewables like solar and wind. Solar has made huge leaps in recent years. Think of all the solar panels you now see on roofs. But there's still a major hang-up. Solar panels only work when the sun is shining. Here's where battery storage comes in. That technology is also advancing. Better batteries mean it really doesn't matter when the sun's not out, and the power plants of the 21st century could be our homes. Here's the world's Jason Margolis.
In Kenya, the electric grid is notoriously unreliable.
If you're watching a Champions League soccer game and, you know, the grid goes down in the middle of the game, you know, that's not a good outcome.
And that outcome, it happens a lot.
At least once a day.
Colin LeDuc is trying to prevent that. He's a partner at Generation Investment Management, a London-based firm that finances green companies. One of the firm's co-founders, former Vice President Al Gore. LeDuc's firm is investing in a Kenyan company called M-Copa, which installs solar panels coupled with lithium-ion batteries to supply modest amounts of power to homes. And they're not just targeting customers who lose power during soccer matches.
There are obviously areas of Kenya where there is no grid at all.
There's a problem, though. Affordability. LeDuc says M-Copa leases its solar systems for the same cost as a daily supply of kerosene or wood.
So 50 cents a day for the solar system. And then what typically happens is they will pay that for about a year. And by that stage, they would have paid off the solar system.
M-Copa has about 1 million customers in Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda.
You know, if you think about solar penetration in the U.S., the U.S. is far behind Kenya relatively just because of the strength of the existing grid in the U.S.
In the U.S., we don't really need big batteries in our garages. We have a reliable electricity grid. That said, more and more U.S. homeowners are giving it a go. For some Californians, it's for similar reasons as for Kenyans. The California utility Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, says it may temporarily shut off some high-voltage lines as part of a new wildfire safety protocol. And rolling blackouts could be possible for up to 5 million California customers.
And we just don't want to deal with that.
I met Susie Poulos at a coffee shop in Berkeley near her home. During the day, her new rooftop solar panels make energy, and at night she can use that energy stored in the batteries to help power her home. Poulos was also motivated to install solar-powered batteries for environmental reasons.
The current world, the climate change, yeah, absolutely.
Poulos recently began leasing a system from the Bay Area company Sunrun and has seen her electricity bills decrease dramatically.
Just for electricity, we usually paid about $150 and we now pay $10.
That's to pay for a connection to the grid. Now, Poulos does pay Sunrun $120 a month to lease her system. Still, she's saving $20 a month and supplying clean energy into California's electricity mix. I recently saw Sunrun's Vice President for Energy Services, Audrey Lee, speak at MIT's Energy Conference in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
So I'll start off by asking all of you a question. How many of you have used Airbnb as either a host or as a guest? Raise your hand.
Lee envisions solar batteries at home as another iteration of the sharing economy, this time sharing electricity. Lee says while the cost of generating power is declining, the cost to deliver it is going up.
And by 2030, the electricity utility industry will need to make a total investment of $1.5 to $2 trillion in order to maintain this electricity grid. So to me, it doesn't make sense. Why are we transporting electricity large distances when it costs so much to do so, when we can just generate that electricity at the home where it's being used in the first place?
Since 2010, the cost to install solar panels has gone down by nearly two-thirds, and batteries have fallen in price by 84%. Still, the solar storage revolution may just be getting started.
Energy storage, of course, has, you know, come a long way. Today it's considered to be sort of the sexy thing in the world of energy. but it's still a fairly new technology.
I caught up with Ravi Mangani in the hallway at the MIT conference. He's with the energy research firm Wood Mackenzie. He says the U.S. is a leader when it comes to solar-powered batteries, but we need better state policies to encourage more homes and businesses to install them.
There are some other countries that have done extensive work on energy storage, and we've seen deployments in those countries, namely South Korea, the United Kingdom, and now increasingly China as well.
Mangani says in the past 5 years, the world began to experiment with storage. In the next 5, it will become a key asset for the electricity grid and is projecting it to grow by more than 13-fold worldwide. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.